Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to a bonus edition of the Rabona podcast. I'm Ryan Hun. Unfortunately, we couldn't all get into the studio today, but I'm going to be joined by Musa Okwonga on the phone very shortly to discuss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer being announced as the new permanent manager at Manchester United. We're also going to talk about Women's Champions League. The quarterfinal second legs took place this week. Musa was at Wolfsburg to see Wolfsburg against Lyon and maybe a couple of other bits. So I'm joined on the phone by our very own Musa Okwonga. Hey, dude.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm all right. How are you? I'm a little bit under the weather, actually, but...
Oh, you should have come to Wolfsburg last night, dude.
I wanted to. Musa was at Wolfsburg, Lyon last night. I tried to go, but my accreditation got rejected because the press box was oversubscribed.
Oh, no.
But I suppose that's good. It's good that there's so much interest in it.
It is. It was a sold-out crowd, 4,500.
Let's talk about your beloved Manchester United have announced today that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will get a 3-year deal. Starting at the beginning of next season.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Oh, no. I'm going to be that guy. Okay, do you know what? It is absolutely amazing what he's done at United. But the feeling I've got right now, and that sounds really awful. You know, when you started seeing someone really new and you're really excited about the new relationship, but there's all the baggage from the old ones that makes you doubt yourself. Yeah, I feel like that with this deal. I feel like in my gut, I mean, there's a guy, Richard Cann, who writes at Red Voices. They've got a great podcast, actually, Red Voices about Manchester United. And Richard Cann, basically, and I think have the same view. Like, we're just a bit anxious that the deal has happened so soon because, obviously, Solskjaer has had a brilliant start and there's been this incredible surge in the confidence of all the players and they seem really happy with it. My one fear is, have we jumped too soon?
Yeah, I mean, I found the timing of it a little odd. It's strange because since he's taken over, United have the best record in the Premier League.
Right.
However, the season is far from over.
Right.
And I wonder whether United tying themselves into this deal now... You know, say, for example, United just nosedive the rest of the season, finish a long way off the top four and end the season poorly. I mean, this is hypothetical, but I wonder then, have they not learned from the deals given to someone like Moyes, where they were tied in and they're still paying, and whether some of that goodwill might have been eroded a little bit by then already?
Well, that's the fear, isn't it? I mean, you look at the way that we lost to Wolves, for example, and we looked very short of ideas. And, you know, it's one game, I know, but the way we've beaten by Arsenal, we had a lack of nous there as well. I don't want to be the doomsayer. Do you know what I mean? I really, but all I'm saying is that I am someone, you know, you can hear from the podcast I've been on before, I'm very enthusiastic about the way things have gone. So if I'm the Solskjaer, who wouldn't be? But I also have that thing where my gut is not always right, of course, because many of my exes will tell you my gut feelings are not the best, but...
There's a lot of relationship references getting dropped here. Is everything all right?
Yeah, because it's so personal. Because your relationship with your club is so personal. And it's not just a question of economics and balance sheet. It's about instinct and about feeling. And my instinct is, you know, right manager deal at the wrong time. That's my gut feeling with this. And I just wonder if, you know, if we had no deal for Solskjaer announced, but just gone to the end of the season with a tacit understanding he would be the manager, and behind the scenes, the sense he would be the manager, but not really announcing. It just would maintain that competitive tension and momentum until the end of the season.
Well, this is something that we've spoke about before. And I mean, I guess we're going to now see the results of that play out, where there was always a suspicion that the renewed kind of good energy and goodwill around Manchester United and good feeling was partly down to the fact that this was always seen as some kind of temporary position for Solskjaer.
Right.
Now that's been formalised into a long-term deal, there's no get out now.
We'll see the true face of his leadership now. Now there's a sense of continuity. I mean, look, let's look at the benefits as well. The benefits are that any player looking to come to United will know Solskjaer will be in charge and will know they are coming to a club where the players are really happy. you know, there is a much better mood around the ground now, but also that he will give young players a chance and also players without that big reputation a chance. So if you're a young player now looking at Manchester United, you'd be like, I'll get games if I go there.
Mm.
And that has to be a huge attraction for any, you know, for any young player in Europe looking now. It must be like, if I get in and make a good name for myself, I'm doing it.
Yeah, there's a tendency with appointments like this to use experience or as a kind of like a tool to bash the manager with. You know, I mean, we've seen it on numerous occasions. I think the main two will probably be Zidane and Guardiola.
Right.
However, their track record speaks for themselves. And I think right. that there are similarities with Solskjaer. On a positive side, there's similarities with Solskjaer at United as there are with Zidane and Guardiola. The only difference being that, you know, Solskjaer's top level experience came from Cardiff, which didn't go so well. And then obviously Mulder, where he was really successful, whereas Zidane and Guardiola weren't managing senior teams before they took charge. So there's a little bit of a difference, but there is a potentially high, really high ceiling here for Manchester United and for Solskjaer. And it is still maybe a little bit of a free hit, but less of a free hit now that they've tied him into this deal so soon. So I think
can I say as well, it's absolutely remarkable that we're having this conversation at all. And that's a testament to the job that he's done. The fact that this is even a conversation about, was this the right timing, as opposed to, no, we should not give him the job at all. And I suppose one thing I want to say really is that at this point, they had to give him the job because he'd done such an incredible job in a short space of time, created such a good feeling that if he hadn't got the job, there would always be a sense of what if.
Yeah.
And in a funny kind of way, this appointment works perfectly for everyone because it works perfectly for Spurs. They get Pochettino for another season in the new stadium. Spurs get to like work with Pochettino in that stadium for hopefully another year. United get a manager that everyone's happy with. And right now, I think United fans, frankly, are just happy to have their club back again. The one concern is over the hiring policy because we still need a director of football. And I wonder if the euphoria over this appointment will stop Woodward putting the structures in place the club needs in the long term.
Well, actually, this is where I think that this appointment might change certain things for United because their strategy over the last few years post Alex Ferguson has just been to spend, basically.
Right.
And they've massively overlooked other areas of the club that desperately need restructuring. And I think the one thing that actually is really, well, it's not the one thing, but a thing that is really positive about the Solskjaer appointment on a permanent basis is that I think he would rather there be more emphasis on structure and bringing through youth players and creating more of a holistic approach, if you like, as opposed to just going out and signing players for 100 million euros.
Exactly right, exactly right. And I think Solskjaer is someone who understands the needs of the squad. He's not naive. I do hope we make sort of stronger signings in midfield and defence. I think attack actually is fairly fine. But I do trust him in the short term and the short to medium term to get the signings right.
Mm.
But yeah, you know, fingers crossed, quite frankly. Like I said, I don't want to be negative about this. I just have that sort of slight concern about starting a new venture and throwing your weight behind it.
United must have got inklings that anyone else that they were thinking about bringing in over Solskjaer just weren't available. So, which is why they've moved now, I imagine.
Yes, and that's a very good point. And wouldn't have been as exciting a signing. Like to bring someone in, realistically, the only two managers that could come in at this point, actually even one, I mean, Pochettino, I'm not sure else would have been available, but even Pochettino, frankly, things seem to have cooled in that direction recently. And I just think with the way that Solskjaer has come in, they would have been underwhelmed.
And also, to be honest, I think the longer this has gone on, the clearer it's been that actually I don't think Pochettino wanted to go. And obviously, you'd never know.
Yeah, yeah. I think everyone's a winner. Deep down, everyone's a winner, aren't they? Solskjaer's got what he wants. United have got what they want. Spurs have got what they want. And Pochettino's got what he wants. I just think everyone's happy at this point.
Yeah. So I suppose what next? Is there anything that is going to derail this seemingly never-ending wave of goodwill around United at the moment?
Oh, it's football. It's football. There's always something to derail. Listen, if you really wanted to get into it, Wolves derailed it. I mean,
yeah, true.
You know, Wolves were a really good chance to advance and win a trophy. And we blew it, unfortunately. That's a cautionary tale. United have to still get into the top four for the Champions League, I think, because that will help attract signings, you know, truly elite signings. So there's a banana skin in order there. There's a lot of challenges ahead of United. There's a lot of challenges. So, and if you look at Chelsea now, Chelsea have had squad problems, but now their squad players are now playing really well at international level. So, you know, United have got their work cut out to finish top four.
I think everyone has, to be honest. I think that even potentially, although I don't think they'll be dragged into it, but, you know, Spurs need to start playing well again. Arsenal are by no means nailed on. Chelsea are there and United are there. So I think it is two. It's definitely two from four. I think.
Spurs are such a Champions League dark horse, by the way. They are such a Champions League dark horse.
Well, yeah, maybe. I think this might be where their focus is going to lie. I mean, actually, on United, you know, I think they've got a massive free hit in the Champions League because no one's going to expect them to go through against Barcelona.
And, no.
And people wouldn't have expected them to even be in this position to play Barcelona.
Right.
I think that's a win-win, really.
I can't see United. I mean, I don't know how negative. God, I'm so negative today.
Wrong with you? You're usually so chipper.
I think I'm sad that Wolfsburg lost to Lyon last night.
All right, well, yeah, again, we'll get onto that in a little bit. But
yeah, I'm just sad. I'm sad because they were so good. They were so good and they almost had them on the run. But anyway, that's another story.
So anything else to add on the Solskjaer biz? I mean, it looks like Mike Phelan's going to stay, although they've not announced
yet. Yeah, it does. Do you know what it is? I'm going to sound like a bit of a curmudgeon as well. Just United have had ownership issues with Glazers, and the Solskjaer appointment does put a bit of a gloss over that. And I'm just a bit nervous about the ownership structure. They've taken a lot of money out of the club and haven't put that much in, you know, in terms of systemic investment over time with a proper structure, directed football structure. So that's just the sort of the cautionary tale. But overall, I am very positive. And I'm glad that the players are happy. I'm glad that Solskjaer is happy. And frankly, the match-going fans are happy because they've had to put up week in, week out with a lot of substandard football, unexciting football over the years. So I'm glad for them.
I mean, a massive positive from a United point of view is I think it's very hard. We're seeing it nowadays. It's very, very difficult for fans of clubs operating at the level that Manchester United are to feel as connected to those clubs as they used to back in the day. And I think that the one thing that you can't really put a price on at the moment is how much more connected to Manchester United fans seem to be under Solskjaer.
Yeah. And, absolutely right.
You know, David Moyes had never played for Manchester United and was never linked with Manchester United really until he took over.
Right.
The same for Van Gaal, the same for Mourinho. Well, I mean, Mourinho was a little bit different because he was rumoured to take over after Ferguson. But again, no real history with Manchester United. And you've got a guy there now who, like we said, he scored one of the most important goals in Manchester United's history, has already kind of trained at youth level there with some of the players that are in that squad now. Senior level and seems to have this aura around him. You know, you've seen him with players like Rashford, that amazing picture when they were, was it in Dubai?
Just when he's describing his goal in the Champions League final.
Yeah, you know, it is totally like, it's like story time. Sit down, kids, let me tell you something.
It's the intangibles, isn't it? I think that's the really important thing, the point you're making there, which is really vital. Like, in terms of intangibles, this is the best emotional signing that Ed Woodward has made at United.
It's a PR winner. It's a PR winner.
It is. But we've had other PR winners before. Van Gaal was a PR winner. But this is different. This is actually, on an emotional level and on a PR level, it's right.
Mm.
And that, I think, it's the thing. It's right. Maybe that is right for right now. It's what United need right now.
Well, I mean, it's exciting times. I mean, Manchester United have Watford at home on Saturday.
Yeah.
So a big win there. And
Watford, but yeah, we should come through that.
And then you're away. You're away and running.
Gonna win the Champions League.
Oh.
Gonna win the Champions League.
Amazing. Right, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk your beloved Wolfsburg.
Sure thing. Poor Wolfsburg.
All right, back from the break. It was a big week for the Women's Champions League. The quarterfinal second legs were decided. You were at Wolfsburg Lyon.
I love it. I love it so much. So I was over there. So the connection was that I did some work for the Bundesliga a while back. And they were very kind. They're like, look, one of the clubs reached out, Wolfsburg, and said, do you want to come along to this game? Because you like what you're up to. So I went along and had the most wonderful day away in Wolfsburg. They've got one of the best galleries, actually, one of the best art museums in the whole of Europe. So I went there before the match. So it took a bit of culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Did you wear your roll neck sweater?
Actually, I did actually have a bit of a turtleneck going on, to be honest.
Busted.
The game itself, fascinating. Lyon, you know, there's a reason they are multiple defending Champions League winners. I think this will be their fourth straight Champions League if they win.
Mm.
They were 2-1 up from the first leg, then went quickly up through a goal from Lucy Bronze, and they went They were 2-0 up at half time, 4-1 up in aggregate.
Yeah, Wendy Renard got the penalty right. Who was our midweek Rabona selects? Wendy Renard.
She was, and a terrific performance from her over both legs.
She is immense. She is, I think.
What a player.
I mean, it's quite easy because she's quite tall. She stands out quite a lot as it is. And I think that it would be very easy just to assume, oh, this is a really, really tall person playing in defence. But the way she strokes
where
the ball around,
out.
Oh,
yeah,
my
she plays
God.
Up in the back.
She's amazing.
Unbelievable. And the thing about Leon was so fascinating. So, two very quick goals from Wolfsburg in the second half, and they were rattled. I was at 55 minutes into the game, and I said to my mate, I was like, look, if Leon just don't concede in the next 5 minutes, they don't get sucker punched, they could win the whole thing. And what happens in the next 5 minutes? Leon sucker punched them. And it was funny because the Wolfsburg left back was actually very conservative almost the entire match. And both of the Wolfsburg goals came down the left. And so when they pushed forward, they actually started scoring. But of course, the second they pushed forward, Leon pounced.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. It was
brutal, absolutely brutal.
I mean, Pernille Harder got both goals. I mean, she's probably the...
Her movement, my goodness.
You know, her, Ada Hegerberg, arguably the two best players in the world, both playing on the pitch. Mm. 2 in 4 minutes, and then a few minutes later, that was the killer goal, I think, when Leon got that goal after an hour. And that just meant Wolfsburg needed another 3, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And you could see the mood died. I mean, the atmosphere was superb. I think 4,500. It's the first time that the crowd, the stadium's been sold out at Wolfsburg. And so then it's the world's top talent on display, the best team. I mean, also the top of the German league, best team in Germany, best team in France. And it was, the reason I'm so thrilled about it was just such a treat to witness that. You know, to see that up close, to see football of that quality. I mean, for €8 entry. And we got the complimentaries, but it would have been €8 if we just paid for it on the market, open market. So I'm really excited now because Wolfsburg are playing Potsdam in early May, and that will be a big game because Potsdam are fourth and Wolfsburg are top, just ahead of Bayern on goal difference. But I've got to say to anybody, if you get a chance to check out the German Women's Bundesliga, it's an absolute treat. It's the quality of the football is something else.
Yeah, there was a really good interview this week with Alexandra Popp. I think it was for Deutsche Welle. And she was saying that, you know, despite Wolfsburg being the top team in the Frauen Bundesliga, they still look to Leon as an example and they have a lot to learn. So, you know, Leon train in the same facilities as the men. It's all very kind of on par in a lot of aspects.
Yeah.
And you see that a lot, I think, with just how much ahead of a lot of the competition they are. Whereas Wolfsburg, it's not quite there yet.
The Leon travelling support was absolutely superb. And what I will say as well is what was fascinating about the game was just the great number of men that were watching. That was fantastic. So you had, I went to the Women's Champions League final when Frankfurt played PSG here in Berlin in 2015. The demographic there was so much different. Here, I would say the gender split, there were so many more men than there were at the Women's Champions League final in 2015. And that's so great to see because the game was just growing organically in the age range, the diversity of the crowd. I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah, in the other games, Bayern went through against Slavia Prague after drawing 1-1 in the first leg. They won 5-1. They are joint top or second on goal difference to Wolfsburg in the Bundesliga. So they managed to avoid each other in the semi-final, because the draw was made and it's Bayern are going to play in Barcelona, who went through, they won 1-0. Leaky Martins, they were already 3-0 up from the first leg, I think, against LSK. So it's going to be Bayern, Barcelona, and Leon are going to play Chelsea, who got a 91st minute goal, which meant they lost the game 2-1, but they went through 3-2 on aggregate. That game actually, because I switched over to that after the Wolfsburg game. The atmosphere at that game was amazing. There was like, you were talking about the travelling Leon support, but the PSG fans, I mean, there was some trouble last week against Chelsea. There was some arrests and stuff like that from the PSG ultras. I think actually they were an ultra group that was banned from the men's games.
I came to the women's home. God.
And Emma Hayes, the Chelsea manager, was crediting the PSG fans after the game and saying how intimidating they made it for them. And she seemed really happy. I mean, obviously she was going to be happy, but she said it was the biggest result in Chelsea women's history last night.
Of course. What's amazing, you see that goal again, anyone that watches that winner, the late winner, the timing of the run, it's one of those classic ones where the ball whips in from the left-hand side. There's a slight sort of an in-swinger. her run, Mielda's run, was absolutely outstanding. It was actually quite a sort of Gary Lineker type run. You know, those sort of like the far posts when you attack space as opposed to attack the ball.
Yeah. So, good week for Chelsea, the only English team left in the Champions League. One French, one Spanish, one English, one German in the semi-finals. I quite like that.
It's a nice split. I mean, that's quite traditional, isn't it? That's like old school European Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, call me a bit of an old man, but I do love the idea of four countries all squaring off. Preferably actually all champions, but you know, can't have everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, four countries squaring off. That's how it should be, I think.
In other news, before we wrap, we were going to talk about England, Montenegro, and the racial abuse that took place and the reaction to it from players and from Gareth Southgate, but I would rather do that when we're all here, because I think it's more of an important topic to cover in some detail.
Bit of a deep dive, absolutely. I agree.
But good win for England on the pitch anyway. And football-wise, all things rosy.
Raheem Sterling just scoring for fun at this point, isn't he?
I find it very interesting and slightly amusing, the turnaround of the perception of Raheem Sterling.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He's become a good immigrant now. Come on, I have to say it.
There you go.
Who will?
Plug for the book.
He's become the good immigrant. What book? Oh, there's a book called The Good Immigrant. Hey,
The Good Immigrant USA, just out now as well.
It is. You cheered me up. Now you let me plug my own products. Now you've let me sink into capitalist mode.
Well, speaking of plugging your own products, I want to plug something that you are involved with. So my copy of issue 2 of CARICOM arrived this week.
Oh.
Which features an essay from our very own Musa Okwonga.
Ah, thanks, mate. Thanks. Well, Callum, who edits that, is an amazing guy, and he asked me to do a piece. It was an absolute honour. I wrote a piece about when I first played for Stonewall Football Club, which is a queer football team. When I came out as bisexual, it was very difficult moving to London. I wasn't aware of the queer scene, so I thought, you know, best thing, start a football team, meet some friends there. And we went on a winning run. We won our first 7 matches, and it was an incredible experience, and it was the kind of the beginning of the rest of my life. So yeah, shout out to CARICOM, shout out to Stonewall Football Club, and thank you, Ryan, for mentioning that.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, for those who don't know about CARICOM, I think it's a very crucial magazine, and it's where the football and the UK black experience kind of intersects. And issue 2 is brilliant. It's brilliant and it's important. And yeah, big up Callum Jacobs, who has put a lot of hard work into this, and it's brilliant. I'd recommend people picking one up. You can go to CARICOM, so CARICOM.UK/shop, pick up the latest issue. It's brilliant. It's got Moose's essay in it. Recommend it. And I reckon that's it, huh?
All good. Yeah. We're
you done. Need to run, huh?
Can I just say thank you so much, Ryan, for grabbing me in for the podcast, because it's so good to get on top of this stuff. There's so much changing football so quickly.
I fired out the Rabona signal to the clouds.
Yeah, exactly.
Michael unfortunately couldn't make it. But yeah, so hopefully we'll all be together on Monday.
Absolutely. I look forward to seeing you there.
I'm going to probably talk about Spurs-Liverpool. Or is it Liverpool-Spurs? But it's at Liverpool, isn't it?
Oh, lovely. Yeah, I look forward to it.
All right, man. Well, we'll catch you Monday.
Thank you so much.
Cool, man.
Catch you soon. Cheers, mate. Bye.
And that's about all we've got time for on this bonus edition of the Rabona podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, you can check us on all social media channels at Rabona Mag. We'll be back on Monday with a normal podcast. Enjoy the weekend. Take it easy. Bye.